No, I will say good afternoon. I'll call the February 16th meeting of the Ag Finance and Policy Committee to order. This meeting will be held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. Roll call, Mr. Smith, please.
Chair Sundin.
Present.
Vice Chair Vang.
Present.
Representative Anderson. Representative Burkle.
Burkle present.
Representative Eklund. Representative Hansen R.
Hansen R here.
Representative Hansen J.
Hansen J present.
Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn present.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert present.
Representative Lewick.
Lewick present.
Representative Miller.
Present. Sorry, I had mute on present.
Representative Nelson.
Nelson present.
Representative Thompson. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I would like to get the approval of the minutes. Representative Miller, do you have a motion for us?
Yes, I've reviewed the minutes and I make a motion that we approve the minutes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, you heard the motion. Any questions or corrections on those minutes? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor signify approval of the minutes by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, that motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. We got a pretty full agenda today, but hopefully we have adequate time to do it all justice. Again, all the items are related, so hopefully we'll reduce redundancy and maximize our time. First up, we get an update from the Rural Finance Authority on the status of their loan programs. Target time is just a few minutes here, 15 minutes, and the department submitted a report that you were provided, which includes information about the RFA loans that they administer, as well as current loan issuance and projection of when the funds will be exhausted. This is one of the tools the department has used to help farmers navigate COVID and the recent drought. We have about 15 minutes, so Mr. McDivitt, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Chair Sundin, members, I'm Matt McDivitt. I'm the Ag Finance Supervisor for the Department of Agriculture. So I will share my screen and we will go through a short presentation. Feel free to ask questions as we go along. Okay, so the RFA, for any that are unaware, basically the way we're funded is we get appropriations to or authorization to purchase bonds on the open market. So we use those authorizations for a number of different programs, beginning farmer and seller assisted, agricultural improvement, livestock expansion, and restructure. We sell a mixture of taxable and non-taxable bonds. Our last authorization was $50 million, which was back in 2020, of which we sold $25 million worth of bonds in September of 2020. So we're still working off that chunk of money right now. We also do the Aggie Bond Program, which is a federal tax-exempt bond program. And then we have a dedicated revolving account for loan programs such as disaster, livestock equipment, value-added ag product, agroforestry, microloan, farm opportunity, and methane digester. Just kind of an overview of the authorizations I was just speaking of, kind of gives you the history from 86 to 2020. I'm not going to read them all off to you, but if you just want to take a look at that. RFA program, kind of high level overview here. So 86 to 2021, we've issued 3,801 loans, totaling a little over $360 million. We have taken losses on only 21 loans, which represents 0.002% of the total. So overall, our risk is pretty good. We return quite well on that. We currently have 636 active loans with a balance of just over $94 million. Recent bond loan activity, Fiscal year 18, we did 109 loans for just over 21 million. 2019, 122 loans for 24 million. We had a little bit of a dip in 2020, 2021, and that's purely due to the COVID type thing. So 94 loans for 17 million in 20 and 75 for almost 11 million in 2021. So far through fiscal year 22, we have 21 loans for almost 3 million. We have quite a bit in the hopper here though. So we expect this year to at least rebound up to the 2021 or 2020 level. Current bond loans we do have approved that are not on the books yet. We have 60 loans for about 11 million. With our bonds that are sold and funds available to make loans, we have 16 million and current bonding authority, 25 million. So how does the RFA work? Our loan programs, we participate with local lenders. Generally speaking, we take 45% of a loan. So the lender does most of the paperwork and, they close the loan with their funds, but then we buy our 45% from them after the loan closes. So in more common type of situations, if there was a $100,000 loan, they're going to take $65,000 of it. We take $45,000 of it. So when the borrower makes their repayments on their loans, they pay the lender and then the lender pays us. We do have a 5-year prepayment penalty. After that, they can pay it off as quickly as they like. So this works out pretty well to cut down on some of our administration in that they provide most of the paperwork and their approval process. We generally, if they approve, we approve. I don't know, maybe there's about one every 3 years or so that we'll have a loan that they'll approve that we won't, but it's pretty rare. So we wanted to get a little bit into the disaster recovery loan as it kind of pertained to the drought. So to qualify for that, it needs to either be a state or federal declared disaster or as a disaster area as determined by the RFA board. That was somewhat recently added a couple of years back. The idea here is to help farmers affected by recent disasters for farm expenses not covered by insurance. It's used to help clean up, replace feedstock or other puts or repair on buildings. It can be used to purchase watering systems during a drought or disaster and cover loss of revenue when there's a contagious disease, whether that disease be animal or human disease. So that human part got added there with COVID so we could access some of the funds for people who were struggling with their operations due to issues with COVID. That loan is also limited to 45% of a qualifying loan to a maximum of $200,000 from the RFA. We do these loans at a 0% interest rate, and it's interest only required in the first 2 years, which in a sense then just makes it no payments for 2 years. So there is no maximum net worth right now, and collateral is negotiable. So we are quite flexible with this here. I mean, kind of the idea is we want to be able to make this that it'll fit a lot of different situations and not have a whole lot of hoops to jump through. So disaster loans we have issued, it's really picked up, as you would imagine here in the last few years due to COVID and the drought. So 2020 to 2021, we did 30 disaster loans for $2.2 million. Those were primarily COVID, but there was a chunk of some that had to do with some storms we had a couple of years ago. 2022 fiscal year, so that's starting in July, pretty much every loan we've gotten in has been a drought-related loan. For this year. So right now we have 12 loans for $1.45 million. We continue to get lots of calls on these. They kind of come in fairly steadily, and we expect that to continue here as the year progresses. That is the end of my short presentation. I am available for questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McDevitt. Any questions from the committee? Representative Burkle, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one question on the disaster assistance definitions. I'm just curious, water systems would include wells, correct? I've had calls on wells back in my district, and I'm just curious about what you mean by water systems. How would that be defined?
Mr. McDevitt, please.
Sure, Mr. Chair, Representative Burkle. Yeah, we can do, we have pretty broad range of what we can do as far as where people are having issues with water, whether it be systems or drilling a new well or things of that nature. So yes, definitely.
Thank you. Anything further, Representative Burkle?
No, nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for, is my audio sounding bad?
You're breaking up a little bit, but we'll bear with you.
I'm having issues with my computer. I may have to shut down. I was just going to ask you a quick question about the application process for these RFA loans. Is it an online application, or would you characterize it as more older technology?
Mr. McDevitt, did you get that, please?
Mr. Chair, no, I didn't quite catch it all.
One more time, Representative Anderson.
I'm sorry about that. Just wondering about the application process. Is there an online application? Does it go smoothly? Or are you using what some would call old technology in this whole process?
Okay, we'll try again, Mr. McDevitt.
Okay, I got it. Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson. Yeah, application. So we do have an application online. It is a paper one. They usually fill that out when they're filling out the bank application and other documents. So they do that with their banker, and then that's part of the package the bank sends over to us. So the application for a disaster loan is, I think it's 7 or 8 pages, but a lot of it's just kind of informational. There isn't a ton to fill out. Probably would take an average person 10 minutes to fill it out at the most.
Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, thanks. Representative Anderson, I'd suggest if before we move on to some of the other concerns that you're going to speak to, could you get a better audio? It'd be appreciated. Okay, moving along. Thank you, Mr. McDevitt. That's helpful information. Up next, we have House File 3081. It's going to provide funding to expedite RFA loan processing. House File 3081, Representative Swedzinski is going to appropriate money to expedite rural finance authority loan processing. I already said that, but welcome to Representative Swedzinski. Let's get your bill moved before you begin. Representative Anderson, would you like to move House File 3081 be laid over for future consideration? Okay, we did not hear from him.
Mr. Chair, this is Representative Lewick. I would move that bill.
Okay, thank you. Representative Lewick moves House File 3081 to be laid over for future consideration. Representative Swedzinski, your bill is before us. We have about 15 minutes for the bill. Please tell us about it, and let's hear from witnesses, please.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Sundin, and thank you, members of the Ag Committee. Appreciate the opportunity to come before you here on Zoom. This bill is a pretty straightforward bill that I think is really reacting to the growing need as agriculture transitions. And, this bill particularly focuses in to the RFA and the ability to process the paperwork that for the loans and the applications and for the credits within this program to allow these staff people to really keep up with the workload. As a Republican, adding staff to the state government has never been a real priority, but I will agree that at times it is necessary, and I believe that this is one of those times. This is a very focused program. This has the potential to be a temporary program or get grown into the future. But as of right now, this agency gets inundated, sometimes seasonally, but it just inundated with these applications. And the goal of this bill is to make sure that the RFA has the tools, has the staff to make sure that young farmers have an opportunity to grow, and young farmers have the opportunity to be successful in their operation in this very quite volatile agricultural market that we're in. House File 3081 just bore from a conversation that I had with some folks who were concerned about some of the wait times and the workload within this particular area in state government. And this bill, I believe, moves forward about $80,000 to help alleviate that load to make farmers' lives easier. I know we have a number of folks that would like to speak on behalf of this bill, and thank you for your time and consideration. Thank you.
First up, we have Alexa Swadzinski. There's a family relationship here. Welcome to the committee. I'm going to ask the testifiers to limit their comments to 2 minutes or less. Alexa Swadzinski, welcome to the committee.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alexa Swadzinski. I'm a farmer in Lincoln County, Minnesota. A little bit about me and my relationship with the RFA. I began farming in 2019, renting land for my father. I soon came to realize that it was unsustainable for me to be taking away production acres from him and that I would need to begin the search of finding new landlords. This proved difficult as most landlords have long-standing relationships with their current tenants. In the summer of 2022, an auction was announced for a piece of land only a few miles away from our main farm site. When the land was sold, the majority of the ground was purchased by a local family operation, but one parcel of the sale was purchased by an older gentleman who had no intentions of farming it himself. Deciding he may be a good landlord to pursue, I spoke with a cousin of mine about the opportunity, as I knew they have a few non-family landlords, and I wanted to discuss ways to approach him. That is when I first heard about the Beginning Farmer Tax Credit Program through the RFA. My cousin told me about how he leveraged the programs to assist him in lease negotiations, as well as the Farmer Business Management course that he's enrolled with with Brad Verley of Minnesota West Community and Technical College as part of his continuing education. Using the Beginning Farmer Tax Credit Program, I was able to enter into a 3-year lease agreement with my first non-family landlord. And leveraging the program again, I'm excited to be adding an additional landlord beginning this spring. I believe the RFA is an asset to every farmer in the state of Minnesota and should be given all the tools they require to assist as many producers as smoothly and expediently as possible. And that's why I support the hiring of additional RFA personnel. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your clear testimony. That's great. Next up, we have Brent Kelsey from Compeer Financial. Mr. Kelsey, please.
Thank you, Chair Sandeen and members of the committee. My name is Brent Kelsey, and I serve as a principal credit officer with Compeer Financial, where I've been for 11 years. I also operate my own farm and personally use the RFA program. By way of background, Compeer Financial is a member-owned cooperative providing credit and other financial services to our farmer customers located in parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois. Compeer is part of the Farm Credit System created by Act of Congress commissioned to support rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services. Within Minnesota, Compeer has more than 25,000 farmer clients and over $5.2 billion in total loan volume. We serve all types and all sizes of agriculture, from multi-generational farms to young and beginning farmers to those serving new and emerging markets. On behalf of Compeer, as well as Ag Country Financial Services, the other farm credit cooperatives serving Minnesota agriculture, I am here today to speak in support of House File 3081. In my role at Compeer, I work with all sizes of operations, but many being small, beginning, and emerging farmers. With my knowledge of the state and federal government programs, I have become a sort of government loan specialist with our clients and a liaison between Compeer, our clients, and the different agencies. I field a lot of questions and work with our beginning farmers to try to make their experience working with the government agencies as smooth as possible. Over the last 11 years, it has been a pleasant experience working with the RFA. However, in the last few months, we have experienced considerable processing delays. Compeer appreciates the support and the legislature has historically provided for the lending programs offered to farmers through the Rural Finance Authority at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Since 2012, Compeer's participated loan balance with the RFA has more than tripled, going from $11.3 million to nearly $36 million. This may not sound like a lot in the grand scheme of things, but we have to remember the majority of these are small loans for small beginning farmers with an average size of just $129,000. There are several loan programs, but by far the majority of our participation loans are with small beginning farmers on purchases. These participations are an excellent arrangement with the clients because RFA interest rates for the beginning farmer program are currently 2%. When we combine this with current market rates, the blended rate makes the cash flows farmers feed the loan to beginning farmers. We also have the ability to participate with the USDA Farm Service Agency to get an even lower blended rate, which we often do. While we appreciate all the efforts the MDA and the RFA staff to process loan applications on a timely basis, in recent months, we have observed processing times slowing and understand there is currently a backlog. Delays in getting loans approved can impact our farmers' interest in utilizing the RFA programs. In the past, the participation approval process took a matter of days, while recently we have experienced timeframes in excess of 10 weeks. Because of this, we have had clients cancel our participation before it was even closed, or others who have just decided not to even pursue the RFA participation financing because of unloan timelines. Therefore, Compeer supports Representative Sudinski's legislation that would provide a supplemental appropriation to the MDA to hire additional staff to assist with processing loan applications. Thank you all for the opportunity to testify today. I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Kelsey. Please stand by. Next up, we have Stu Laurie from the Minnesota Farmers Union. Are there any family connections with the author of the bill before you continue?
Unfortunately for me, there is not Chair Sundin, but Stu Laurie, Government Relations Director for Minnesota Farmers Union, and here to express our strong support for Rep. Sudzinski's bill and giving the RFA more money to administer this really nation-leading program. And, you know, I think a lot of what I can do is echo and confirm what Alexa shared well, and that's what's experienced by being experienced by our members as well. You know, to state what's obvious, you know, access to credit and that financing is a central challenge for, in particular, new and emerging farmers. And the RFA is an exceptional tool, and we're really lucky to have it in Minnesota that helps young farmers overcome that. What I can say too for Mr. McDevitt's team, you know, they're not just taking applications in from lenders, right? They're providing a lot of hands-on expertise. I can say from my experience at Farmers Union, when a farmer calls me and says, hey, I'm having trouble with a lender, I can't find credit. Oftentimes they're like in Alexa's situation where they know that a piece of land was sold or they see an opportunity and you need to jump on that, right? And I tell them, call Matt, call his team, and they have conversations, they help through, they find participating lenders, and all of that takes a lot of time. The other thing I'll say to Representative Anderson's question is I have heard from members when we raised the prospect of putting actually an online portal that that would be helpful. And I think that's something that we could expand and expedite those applications with additional resources. You know, what producers have told me is, hey, everything else I do is online. And when I apply for that program, I need to print everything out, which, you know, some younger folks, you know, might not even have a printer. And so I think there is merit there. And the final thing I'll say is I think the RFA is really, you know, a treasure. It's nation leading. I talked to a colleague from Colorado the other day who flew in to meet with Matt McDevitt. I was kind of offended that I didn't get a lunch out of the deal, but he was coming to learn about the RFA program and try to build on that across the country. So I think this is a good model to build on. This is a good bill to do that. And I'm proud to share our support and happy to stand for questions as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Laurie. Next up, we have Amber Hansen-Glazer with the Minnesota Farm Bureau.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Amber Glazer. I'm the Public Policy Director for Minnesota Farm Bureau. I just want to echo the comments that have already been made and offer Farm Bureau support for this bill. We appreciate Representative Sudinski bringing this forward. As you've heard very clearly, the RFA offers a lot of important tools for farmers, especially for our young and beginning farmers that may need some of these extra tools as they get underway. So just want to reiterate Farm Bureau support for this and make sure the RFA has the tools they need to continue to effectively and efficiently work with their client base. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you to all the testifiers. Are there any questions from the committee members? That must mean there's a very thorough explanation of the bill and great testifiers. Any closing comments before we lay the bill over, Representative Swedzinski?
No, just thank you, Chair Sundin. Appreciate the opportunity to come before the committee and have a great rest of the day.
Good. Thank you, sir. House File 3081 is laid over. Okay, next up, Bob, I have a bill on drought assistance for livestock and specialty crops. House File 3420. Vice Chair Vang, can you take the gavel?
Of course, Mr. Chair. So we have about 55 minutes for the bill before we vote. To Chair Sundin, please go ahead and move your bill and feel free to begin.
Okay, I will move House File 3420 to be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. I'd like to make a few introductory comments before moving the DE1 amendment. Members, today we're taking up drought relief measures to assist Minnesota farmers who were negatively impacted by the historic drought we experienced last year, which still continues. Since at least last July, Governor Walz and several people gathered here today have been advocating for aid to producers who experienced devastating impacts of the drought. Thousands of Minnesota farmers experienced real economic setbacks last year because of the drought, but some had it much worse than others. These funds will target the most severely impacted counties who were designated D4 drought first. These funds won't make every farmer whole, but it will help with a significant bill or an additional expense caused by the drought, and especially for those who need the assistance most. This is an issue that crosses political party lines. I'd like to begin by thanking all the members for offering input and to the Vice Chair Vang and the department for all the work on the Delete All Amendment. We're balancing providing timely assistance to all affected farmers with public and legislative accountability. And I think it's a reasonable and responsive solution. With that, I will move the H3420 DE1 amendment.
All right, Mr.
Okay,
go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Okay, very briefly, this puts some additional parameters on the appropriation. Moving through the amendment, that number one amends current statute regarding eligibility for RFA loans by reducing the farm income threshold to 20% of a farmer's income in that year, down from 50% over 3 years. Secondly, it provides $5 million to the department for grants and $5 million to the RFA loan program to eligible farmers for drought-related expenses incurred between 4/1/21 and 5/1/22. Thirdly, it requires the department to give preference to those who farm in counties classified as D4 in whole or in part during 2021, followed by D2 and D3 farmers. The department would award grants at random if applications exceed available funds for eligible D4 farmers, followed by eligible D2 and D3 farmers. It also establishes some direction on how the funding should be used to ensure different types of farmers can access the assistance. There's a $1 million each and is set aside for livestock producers and specialty crop producers. And $500,000 is set aside for farmer market vendors who sell livestock or specialty crops. The remainder is for any of those groups. The commissioner may reallocate money reserved based on demand and may award unreserved dollars to any eligible livestock farmer or specialty crop producer. And lastly, it does direct the department to do outreach to emerging farmers. That's a summary of the amendment. I'd appreciate your support.
So we have some amendments to the DE1 amendment, but I also see we have a number of people who signed up to testify. And so we will start with the testimony first, since it might be related to those amendments, and then we will go on to the amendments. We have six people who signed up. Folks were asked to keep comments to 2 minutes or less, and so we can get through the entire list. Commissioner Peterson, please state your name for the record and feel free to begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the record, my name is Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Agriculture. And I just want to really thank the committee and Chair Sundin for work that we've been doing on this bill. This was an effort that we brought forward after, you know, as I've mentioned already in the state, that 80% of the state at one time was in severe drought. You know, 50% was in extreme drought. And of course, 10% was in exceptional drought. And so we still think this is a need. I continue to take calls even this week from farmers who, as I said, this bill would help them pay a bill or two and send a message to them that we're committed to helping those specialty crop and livestock farmers across the state. And I would mention that the department, this is Chair Sundin's bill, the department has been working on a bill that also includes the DNR drought relief package that I believe Representative Hansen is continuing to work on. And our administration's position is to have those two bills at some point maybe marry together or travel together. But I appreciate the work on this, and we do have folks here to answer questions and work through this as best we can. At the end of the day, I wanna work with everybody to get this bill passed and to have it work for folks, because we needed people to use it. And so appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Commissioner. Next, we have Stu Laurie from Minnesota Farmers Union. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Chair Vang. Stu Laurie with Minnesota Farmers Union, and here to express our strong support for a drought package and advancing it early. I appreciate Chair Sundin, your leadership on this in particular, and everyone else's work to make this a strong bill that can move early and get out to help folks before the start of spring. I don't know if he's going to be able to join us, but the dairy farmer who's next up to testify, he had something come up, Bob Silton, and he's in Chair Sundin's district. You know, he called me earlier this week, and he's going to run out of feed in a month, and he doesn't know how he's going to buy new feed, which is more expensive than he's used to paying, due to the fact that it wasn't just Minnesota experiencing drought conditions, it was the entire Western United States. It just makes this all the more challenging. His farm has been in business in Carlton County for 136 years. This would mean a lot to his family and to that business. You know, building on the kind of statistics that the commissioner shared and that his team puts together well, I can just share a couple more stories. Like, you know, last night was on a call with another farmers union member who sold half his dairy herd and is working to keep the other half, again, due to the drought. And this morning I got a call from another member who had a specialty crop, Aronia berries, that got burnt out by the drought. Folks might not have heard about it. He kind of sold me on them, told me I needed to start putting them in my smoothies, but they had it completely get burned out, and he's out you know, the $10,000 to $15,000 that he was counting on with that crop alone. So this is really important. It's important to those specialty crop and livestock producers. We continue to see merit, and we really appreciate your work to move this forward and to do so quickly. So thank you, and happy to stick around for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Laurie. Next we have is Robert Siltanen. Robert, please state your name for the record and begin.
Mr. Laurie indicated that he was not available.
Okay, my apologies. Next we have is Liz Dwyer. Liz, please state your name for the record and begin.
Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, committee, thank you for having me today. My name is Liz DeWire, here with the Land Stewardship Project. I run Dancing the Land Farm in Clearwater, Minnesota with my husband and our young daughter. I organically raise a vast variety of market veggies, cut flowers, eggs, pastured lamb, goat, pork, and fiber. We started the 2021 season to be our biggest year yet. We had 100 CSA members. We are vending at 5 farmers markets, supplying 2 regional wholesalers with both produce and flowers, and we are supplying local co-ops and a handful of restaurants. By the beginning of July, our well was sucking bubbles and we were unable to keep up with watering. By late July, what crops were in the ground were withering. By early August, we'd stopped all but two farmers markets and were unable to maintain any of our other accounts. By late July, we had to end our CSA 8 weeks early because we didn't have enough to give, and what little we had, we needed to send to our remaining two markets to try to make a little bit of money. In August as well, we had to send lambs and goats to butcher well before finish weights, months before we normally would because our pasture was done. By October, we had to stop paying our one employee who understood, but is still uncertain if she will understand after such a, if she'll return after such a hard year with unreliable income, which would be years worth of investment into a highly skilled person lost. By November, my husband took another job to try to make ends meet, and we started applying for food stamps and county aid to help pay for our daughter's preschool, which is demoralizing because those applications make you feel like a criminal for being poor. The proof process is exhausting and inefficient, and so far the applications haven't even gone through, and we've had to restart the process three times due to issues on the county's end. By December, we drained our personal savings accounts to pay for the most outstanding of our debts, to buy hay and feed for the winter and to buy seeds and supplies for 2022, most of which we tossed into the Iona credit card, hoping we would catch it when it fell with New Year's CSA sales, but so far sales are way down. We lost over $100,000 in revenue in 2021, which is enormous for a small farm with thin margins. And as demoralizing as all of that is, I felt okay because I knew that we were in the same boat as every farmer around us. But as I have watched dozens of new center pivots go into the commodities fields near us over the winter, I realized that many of my neighbors have already been made whole by crop insurance and easy access to disaster payments, and we are not in the same boat. Our farm feeds thousands of families in our community, and because of last year, we can't even afford to fix our insufficient well, let alone be made whole, because there is no meaningful aid for specialty growers like me. Our story is harsh, and I know we are not the only ones feeling it. Many farmers are still struggling from this past season. The need is great, and I am appreciative that the rapid relief grants would be non-competitive and ask that you do support payments of $10,000 per application. It is honestly a drop in the bucket of our need, but we who feed our communities, who guard and protect soil and water and the possibility of a future for all of our descendants are desperate, and this is exactly how food systems break. While these funds will not make up for all the costs the season incurred, these grants and loan payments will help keep more farmers on the land, stewarding soils and feeding our communities. So thank you. Thank you for hearing my story today, and I will be around for questions.
Thank you, Mrs. Dwyer, for your testimony. I really appreciate you coming here today to share your story. Next we have is Miles Kuschel. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Chair Sundin and members of the committee, I'm Miles Kuschel, a third generation beef rancher in north central Minnesota, closest to the town of Nimrod. I also serve as the Northeast District Director for Minnesota Farm Bureau. I'll expand on the written testimony that our state president, Dan Glessing, has submitted to this committee and can be found in your packet. This has been a very difficult year for many farms and ranches across not only Minnesota, but across the West, as extreme drought has and continues to drive every decision we make on the upcoming year. I've spoken with many producers who feel this is a worse drought that have had to face and are certain that the drought is not over. I know producers who were forced to sell their entire herds when they ran out of pasture. I know many producers that bought very expensive hay to feed their cattle with the ultimate question that it could bankrupt them, but the cost of losing generations of genetics and heritage was more than we could bear. On our ranch, we saw hay production decrease by over 2/3 and sold off cattle to try and preserve what little forage we had. When we were unable to bring in the amount of hay needed to feed our cattle this winter, we were forced to haul our cattle out of state to sustain them until we can bring them home. My story is like many of the Farm Bureau members I represent, and the continuing fear of the drought lasting well into 2022 has many producers facing drastic decisions. Farmers and ranchers don't expect the relief to make them whole, but the rapid relief grants will help with challenges facing producers that is out of our control. And the needed RFA loans can help target where it is needed most, such as feed assistance, water hauling, wells, fencing supplies, and other resources that we desperately need on our farms and ranches. Thank you again, Vice Chair and Chair Sundin, for bringing this bill forward, and we look forward to working with the MBA on providing relief for our farmers and ranchers affected by this unprecedented drought. I'll be available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kuschel, for your testimony. Next we have is Chris Wollum. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you. My name is Chris Wollum. I am the legislative chair for the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee, and thank you for your time. I'm here to show support for House File 3420. As the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association, we would like to show our support for this bill. The money is sorely needed by some of our producers, and it was needed yesterday. I talked to people from across the state on a regular basis, and people that were in the D4 status in northern Minnesota, they ended up, like Miles said, they ended up moving a lot of their cattle out of the state because they had no feed. Other people spent all the money they could to buy feed to try to keep as many of their livestock as they could. Part of the problem is some of this feed, the quality, because of the drought, is not as good as it normally would be. So they're having to buy extra feed, more than they had anticipated, to meet the quality to feed their livestock. So I guess altogether, we need to try to make this process as easy and fast as possible for our producers. And again, I thank Commissioner Peterson for all the work he put in through the summer, trying to visit with all the people that were affected. And thank you, Representative Sodine, for this bill. And again, I thank you for your time, and we like to show our support again for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wallen. I think that is all that we have for testifiers. We do have a couple folks on standby. Allison Vanderwall, Executive Director from Minnesota Cattlemen's Association, is available for question. Ashley Bress, Paul Hugan, and Sherry Krumschreiter from MDA are also available for questions. Next, I open up the floor for questions from the committee. And reminder to please be brief in questions and responses. Okay. Representative Cleveland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe this would be to the commissioner. Commissioner, you and I have had many conversations about how do we get help to those who most need it most. And I think my question to you would be, and listening just to the variety of testimony here, and this is not to take away from the cattlemen at all, that is not my intent, but many of our farmers can't move their land anywhere, right? So how do we make sure that we're getting the help to those who most need it, and to start with those who would have the least cushion to fall back on, right? So are there guardrails in place that would help us make sure that the dollars are getting to those who most need it?
Commissioner Peterson?
Madam Chair and Representative Cleveland, thanks for consistently asking that question. And, I think that's where, my heart is. As Mr. Wollum said, I've traveled the state and, I continue to take those questions. I really thank the groups that are very wide variety of groups that you saw testify in this, and and others that are not testifying today that I had conversations with in recent days, including the Farmers Market Association. We rely on our communication groups, to get this out there. That's one of the reasons we have farm groups, we have organizations that they do lobbying, but they also do tremendous outreach. We do a good job. Our ag press does a good job. Our community outreach folks do a good job. But our organizations are incredibly important partners in this, whether it's making sure that folks are aware of that. We work with our agricultural media. Agriculture is unique in that we have a great group of communicators and folks that we work with. And so that is, to me, is paramount. This has been out there for a long time, too. I mean, this idea that we have put forward has been out there almost since September. We have farmers that call us daily almost asking when these grants might be available. So I think folks are aware that this is coming or that it could come, excuse me. And so the way to the committee has worked to put parameters on our Chair Sundin has by if you look at the bill or the DE amendment, by putting so much, first of all, into the livestock. Also keep in mind this is capped, at a $10,000 payment. We could move that cap one way or another on what people are going to get, and so I think that is another possibility too as well. But I also just want to note, I was just looking at the DE here, on the allocations, that $500,000 is reserved for specialty crop producers who are farmers market vendors. I think that is a really unique spot. We don't have, farms that serve farmers markets. This is a really unique idea because that are their family size, whatever that means to you. But I think that we are trying to be unique in getting those dollars out. We have a good track record of this. We've done this before. We did it a couple of years ago under the dairy program. And so I'm confident that we'll get those dollars out. Yes, some bigger farms are probably going to get dollars in this too as well. But, doing this this way, I think we are, have opportunities to ensure that this is available to all.
Representative Cleaveboard, follow up?
Yes, Madam Chair. And just to be really clear, I have nothing against large agricultural producers, right? That I don't have a problem with. I just want to make sure that if we have farmers who are on the brink of not being able to continue to go on in agriculture, that we get the help to them first. And for those emerging farmers who, this is our first generation farmers as well, we want to make sure that we keep that broad diversity viable going forward. And we understand that, no one has control over a drought.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hopefully my computer is fixed and I can go here. I just want to make a comment on some of the earlier testimony. And I hate when farm groups are pitted against each other, different farm groups. A comment was made that crop insurance has made farmers whole from last year. Well, take it from me, it didn't, it doesn't. Crop insurance is expensive, and most farmers carry between 60 and 80% coverage on their usual or normal yield. So if, for example, a farmer has insurance up to 80%, that leaves that top 20% gone, and that usually represents your profit or most of your profit, all of your profit for the year. So to say that crop insurance made farmers whole last year, in my opinion, is not a truly accurate statement, Madam Chair.
Right. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Do you have any further questions or?
No, Madam Chair.
Anyone you want to respond? Okay. Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess this is a question for Commissioner Peterson. I'm very concerned, as you are, with any time lag on this. We don't want to be in a situation where we're handing out grants to fix drought issues in the middle of a potential flood, spring flood season. And so I share your very real impatience with this. So I guess I just need to understand. I think Chair Sundin has got this right. This needs to get two ways and means on the floor of the House. I appreciate we got Chair Hansen here, the DNR stuff, if that's a situation over in another committee, for goodness sakes, I don't want to see in any way, shape, or form this bill delayed even a minute for that. So I don't understand what the connection is there with the DNR stuff. Maybe Commissioner Peterson can expound on that a little bit.
Commissioner Peterson.
Madam Chair and Representative Lewick, thank you for the question. And yes, this has been something and I always remind people I'm the Ag Commissioner, but I'm also part of the administration. And so that this was part of a package that we put together a while ago, and working through the process, and it makes sense to move them together. And I appreciate Chair Sundin working with Chair Hansen, and Chair Hansen, I think he can talk to his portion of the bill. Basically, our bill, which is being introduced today or tomorrow, is mirrors this bill. And my understanding is the DNR bill that Representative Hansen will mirror that and will be in his committee soon. He could speak to that, and that we will have it on the floor soon. and the Senate too would be the other piece. You know, I think I appreciate the House is moving this right now and continuing to work. I'm going to be in the Senate here in about an hour and 10 minutes. And we're, you know, moving this. And I think that we can get this out because, like I said, we get this done here today is the 15th, 16th, whatever, in the next 2 weeks. And, you know, target really March 1st and get the checks out before April or the end of March, you know, and start moving that out. I think we'll be fine. But that's I appreciate that. And I think we can do both and move it along. But I do think the ag part of it is important, is critical, and needs to move now. That's why I've made it a priority.
Mm-hmm. Representative Lewick, follow up.
I appreciate that answer. Yeah, and again, we got to remember, you know, the sometimes the enemy of getting something done is trying to be perfect. You know, so there's an opportunity to move stuff, if so desired, very rapidly through the some of the other committees. I guess just to understand the wide breadth of testimony here, we're not talking about stuff that is going to happen. We're talking about people that have had to take pretty substantial actions that puts them right at the edge of surviving. So again, I can't say enough about this thing. There are real legitimate emergencies out there. If you're sitting there trying to figure out whether or not you're going to be able to continue to operate this spring, that's not a very comfortable feeling. And so even weeks, a week or two delay is, I just have great difficulty tolerating that. But then again, I come from a different world, I guess. You've been here a long time in the legislature. Occasionally, we have to move and just get the job done. So I really appreciate that wide breadth of testimony. I can share just a little bit of, I've got genetics on my farm that go back over 100 years, and that's all I got left on mine. Now, I don't want to in any way compare my situation with the people that have testified, because I am no longer a full-time farmer. But I had to cut that down to the very bare minimum because I had to match what I could keep with the hay. And as I believe Mr. Kushel said, I looked at about, at best, 50% hay production. I'm just telling you, it's real. And we're not in, the worst is not to come, because when you reach the point where you got nothing to feed your cattle, something's got to move. And we're, in some cases, weeks away for that for some of these people, because hay is extremely expensive out there. And so we've got to get a move on. And again, I appreciate Chair Sundin, you know, pushing this forward. And if we got to break track in the snow, let's get it done. Thank you.
So I don't see any more hands. Members, the DE1 amendment is before us, but we also have amendments to the DE1 before we make a vote on it. We'll just go in numerical order. Chair Hansen, you have the first two amendments, and we'll start with A4. Chair Hansen, go ahead and move your amendment and explain.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I will not move the A4. Because it's my understanding that that there is similar boilerplate language, or what we call boilerplate language, in existing law that would cross-reference with this. If Commissioner Peterson or Mr. Hugan could just confirm that, there would be no need for the A4 amendment.
Commissioner Peterson?
Madam Chair and Representative Hansen, thank you for offering the A4, but I do think that this is pieces that we do as a department when we are able to run checks before checks are cut there, go through a system, and we are able to accomplish what you were looking at here in talking to Mr. Hugan. And so I think that you know, I appreciate that you're bringing these pieces forward, and making sure that we're being judicious and with taxpayer dollars too as well. So Paul, is there anything else to add on the A4 amendment?
Mr. Huguenin?
Madam Chair, members, no, I think that's accurate. Basically that, as the commissioner said, that kind of happens behind the scenes automatically when we approve a payment through the SWIFT system. If Department of Revenue has a record that somebody's delinquent in taxes, that is where that gets caught.
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm not offering the A4. I will move the A5 amendment. And my intent here, I believe the digital divide is real. Earlier in today's testimony, we had to ask for having technology. And if we do a first come, first serve, where it's technology, we may run out of the money in those various carve outs that are in the bill. So by having the A5 amendment, it provides a 5 business day period. And then if the amount of money that has been requested exceeds those amounts, then it would be randomized. And this is modeled off of deed grants, the Department of Economic Development, and that provides that there is equity in the system between those that have access, good access. Sometimes there may be access, but it does not work, and those that may be in a paper or a non-digital world. So I would ask for your support for the A5 amendment. And I think I did talk with Commissioner Peterson about this, that this is doable because DEED has done a similar thing with their grant programs.
Any questions and comments from the committee members? Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I have a question. Whether the amendment author or Commissioner Peterson can answer this. So I just want to be absolutely unequivocally clear. We still are going to base kind of that major prioritization on what specific element of the of our spectrum of drought classifications are, because if we don't want to be just, this is to just be randomly, I mean, there are certain areas of the state where it was scorched earth and other areas where it was really bad. And so hopefully you both can reassure me that this in no way is gonna upset that prioritization, because if it does, I certainly can't support it.
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Lewick, it's my intent in reading the section, this does not overwrite any of the other criteria that were there. It is in addition, it's an insert, so it doesn't strike. So it's my intent that this, you still would have that prioritization as identified earlier in those carve outs. And that's my reading. Commissioner Peterson could correct me if I'm wrong.
Commissioner Peterson, do you want to respond?
Madam Chair and members, and yeah, no, I'm. It's always just different looking at this. You know, if you look at subdivision 2 in the DE, the way I was looking at it too, we're looking at, you know, our preference first would be to D4, yeah, which is that part's kind of up in north central, northwestern Minnesota. And we would start there and then go into the farms and counties in D3, D2. And that first big pool would be eligible for that. And then we would do a random because, you know, just assuming we won't have enough money, you know, in this, or if we would, I don't know. But that way, you know, everybody would be put together after we did that initial be 2.5 million. But we would start, as you can see in the ranking there, with D4 and then work down.
Representative Lewick, follow up?
No, thank you. I just wanted to really understand that because, you know, everybody's hurting, but like it or not, we've got to make sure that there's some prioritization there. And, you know, what Mother Nature did to you is that's the first order, and boy, she handed out some some pretty nasty stuff throughout the state. Thank you.
Commissioner Peterson, I saw your hand was up. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting too. Sorry, Madam Chair. And, you know, I think it's interesting too that the timing on this and, you know, what we likely will still be in session after we get the majority of these first bills and everything by the end of April, we may have a good idea if we're able to move this in the next week or so or and start and get that open. So it's likely we could still be in session and know kind of how we're moving some of that around. So it's interesting. It's just a side note I've been kind of thinking about here as we're looking at this. So just wanted to share that.
Chair Sundin, do you have any guidance before we vote on the A5 amendment? Chair, I think you're muted.
I'd like to thank all the parties involved putting this bill together and this particular amendment working on this. And thanks to Representative Loic for asking for clarity on the issue. So thank you for your work, Chair Vang. To the amendment, I'll urge a yes vote on this.
Okay. Seeing no further hands, the A5 is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Okay. Next, we have Representative Anderson. You have two amendments. We'll start with the A7 amendment. Representative Anderson, go ahead and move your amendment and explain your amendment. Representative Anderson, I think you're muted.
Should have learned this by now, huh? Anyway, thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment, as you probably all see, goes above the $5 million cap on this portion of the bill. But since the bill has not received a target yet and it hasn't been to Ways and Means, and I did discuss this somewhat with the chair, and I'm not saying he was enthused about it, but I thought I would put this out anyway. It's a rather small request, and what it does is a lot of the aid is going to come from the federal side for hauling in hay and forage from wherever it came from. But the hole in that results in that it doesn't cover the first 25 miles of transport. And up in my area of the state, city at Sauk Center on the freeway has a large and pretty well-known hay auction. They have it quite often. So again, up there in that Stearns County area, which is, you know, the top dairy county in the state, a lot of activity, a lot of demand for hay. If a farmer went to that hay auction and purchased hay and he lived within 25 miles of Sauk Center, he would not be eligible for the federal aid. So what this bill does is just kind of fill in that gap to cover the first 25 miles for the farmer who has to purchase additional hay because of the drought and haul it back home again. So, Madam Chair, that's what this amendment does.
Okay. Any questions and comments from the committee? Okay. Chair Sundin, any comments?
Before we move on this, I'm just wondering if we could tap into the commissioner again to see what we're doing and what we need to do, I guess. I'd like some more further input.
Commissioner Peterson?
Madam Chair, Representative Sundin, Representative Anderson, we actually think this amendment is a good idea. I think it, Chair Anderson identifies a good piece that we would likely cover under the RFP, and it highlights it. And we think this is a workable piece.
Chair Sundin?
Chair Vang, thank you. I just wanted a reaffirmation of my thoughts here. So I'd recommend yes vote on the A7.
Okay. Seeing no further hands, the A7 is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Okay, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. All right, we have one more last amendment is Representative Anderson, the A8 amendment. Please go ahead and move your amendment and explain.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. And what this amendment does would delete the first section of the bill, which changes the eligibility requirements for RFA loans. And first of all, I want the committee to know that if at some point we would choose to change those requirements for RFA loans, I have no problem with that. But making what is a fairly major policy change in an agriculture drought aid disaster bill, I don't think is a place to do that. This bill has been on the table since last August, and it comes to us today in the form of a delete all amendment with policy changes in it, or at least this policy change. So I would encourage us to pass a clean bill and look at this policy change at a later date. And, you know, I just wonder if we think there are not enough farmers out there across the state that would qualify for these loans under the current guidelines, which is a 50% income from farming or non-farming. Well, let's just talk about the funding that this bill would be available when it passes. It breaks down to $5 million for rapid response grants and an additional $5 million for the RFA loan program, with the stipulation that applications relating to the drought be given priority. So if these rapid response grants are kept at $5,000, we'll be able to help 1,000 farmers. And if the grants are increased to $10,000, we'll be able to help only 500. My point is that this is a relatively small bill in terms of trying to help as many farmers as possible who suffered major damages and crop losses and such this past year. And some have had to sell off parts of their herd. But this was devastating for many farmers all across Minnesota last year. And now the $5 million going to the RFA program is a bit different in that at least some of those loan requests, I would imagine, will be for more than $5,000 or $10,000, and some will be for less than that amount. It's hard to say how far that $5 million will go, but I think we can agree that the need for loans because of last year's drought is much greater than that. So even under the current guidelines for loan eligibility, there are probably far more eligible farmers who could use these loan funds than that $5 million will cover. And I don't think this has to do with the size of a farm. We've talked about large farms and small farms. To me, it gets at somebody who makes up to 80% of their income from something other than farming would be eligible for an agriculture disaster loan. And you have to judge for yourself on that one. So again, if this committee is going to make a change regarding this eligibility, let's do it the right way. Let's put it in an ag policy bill or even a standalone bill, and don't mix it up with this drought aid disaster bill, which needs to get done as soon as possible. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So I will open up for questions and comments from the committee. Representative Cleveland, I saw that your hand was up. Do you still want to ask?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, I take it down. Thank you.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to echo Representative Anderson's comments that there's a time and place to make substantial policy changes to the RFA program. And this is not the place. In fact, this would border on being reckless because we need to see as best they can project the long-term impact on that entire program. And again, this would just be blunt. This is a reckless way to do policy. So I would urge that we leave that alone and eliminate that that section, as this amendment would do. Thank you.
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would oppose the Anderson amendment. You know, if somebody, and I think we had testimony to this, if they're farming and they lost their crop, maybe they had to get a job. That was their income last year, that was their main income. So their percentage of income dropped because they had a crop failure. And so I think the way the chair has the DE written for that 1 year thing rather than 3 year recognizes the crisis that we've heard everyone talking about. So I think what the Chair Sundin has done is good. I would encourage a no vote on the amendment, because there are going to be people who had to find other income, whatever it was, to make ends meet. And that's why the percentage could be dropped for 1 year. During in this particular disaster aid, I think the testimony was compelling, and I am sure there are people out there who had to pick up extra work.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Chair Sundin, any guidance before we make a vote?
Thank you, Chair Vang. With all due respect to my colleagues, Representative Anderson, Representative Lewick, these issues have been discussed thoroughly going in, putting this bill together and putting gathering input from all the parties that we could. And the recommendations from the department weigh heavily with us. And I'm going to urge a no vote on the A7.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I don't argue with the fact that that may have been the cases here, although I will say that when somebody realized that their crops were in trouble, it was probably June, July, August, whatever time frame that might have been. So we're looking at off-farm income for less than a year, probably less than half a year to get to that threshold. And again, I'm not saying I'm against this. I'm just saying that I don't think a drought disaster bill is a place to make a major policy change. Let's do it in a policy bill or a standalone bill. So that's my closing comment, Madam Chair.
Seeing how this was a recommendation from the department, Commissioner Peterson, do you want to make a comment?
Madam Chair and members, I'd love to. Yeah. Thanks. No, this has been a great discussion. I think you've hit all the high points. This is actually something that we've looked at for a number of, it's been something we've been talking about quite a bit. We've actually had this proposal for a while. We also see farmers that want to get into farming that this may affect too. And so, and then Chair Hansen also, or Representative Hansen also brought this up. You know, it's something I don't know that there'll be a ton of people that'll use this. And again, it's hitting the loan program, but we have had this come up with, to my knowledge, with some newer farmers that were trying to get into farming. And that was kind of what we were getting at. And they just haven't had some issues. So they might be working kind of as Representative Anderson was saying. And as we were looking at this, it might help two or three farmers you know, kind of get their feet under them in this situation. So that was kind of the intent of this, and appreciate the discussion on it.
Chair Sundin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Vang. I think I misspoke. My recommendation was a no vote on the A8, not the A7. Sorry.
Thank you for that clarification, Chair Sundin. Seeing no further hands, the A8. Mm-hmm. Is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay.
The motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Okay, there are no more further amendments to the DE1. The DE1 amendment as amended is before us. Reminder, this is not the final vote on the bill. It is just adopting the DE1. And so we can continue the discussion on the bill as amended. So all those in favor of the DE1 amendment as amended, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay.
The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So House File 3420 as amended is now before us. Any further discussion? Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as my name was mentioned earlier, we will be putting the governor's DNR and ag bill. It's in the hopper already. It'll be introduced tomorrow. It'll be introduced tomorrow. And then we anticipate a hearing on Tuesday in my committee. So, and then we'll go to Ways and Means. So I'll be married up with this particular bill. Be anxiously watching the Senate to see if a bill gets dropped.
Right. So So thank you to all those who have testified. Chair Sundin, any closing comments before you renew your motion?
Sure. Thanks. Thanks. This has been a great discussion. I really appreciate all the input from members and testifiers. I'm going to get off script here a little bit and share a personal story. I'm sorry to see that Robert Sultan, a dairy farmer from my district, could not make it here today or wasn't available to testify. But my story is similar to his, very similar to his. The herd is about the same size, a prize herd with good genetics. And my family farm had to ship the herd back decades ago because of feed problems. It was just the most devastating day a farmer could imagine when they have to ship a herd and move on to something else. So if we can avoid that with large farmers, small farmers, we should be doing so. So I'm hoping this is a strong statement today that we support helping the farmers that are impacted by this drought. We've taken the time to discuss these measures with the Department of Ag and address members' concerns and make sure that these funds will reach the folks who need it quickly. Keyword, quickly. I renew my motion that House File 3420, as amended, be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee, and I ask for your support.
My apologies, Chair. I saw that Representative Anderson's hand is up, and so I know we still have a good time, some time here. So is it okay if I'm going to ask Representative Anderson to if you still want to make a comment?
No, Madam Chair, we've heard the Chair's closing comments, and I'm not going to go away from committee procedure. So he has a last word, and the bill is what it is, and I thank him for his work, and thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Anderson. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. So the motion is before us. Mr. Smith, please take the roll.
Representative Sundin.
Aye.
Sundin votes aye. Representative Vang.
Aye.
Vang votes aye. Representative Anderson.
Anderson votes aye.
Anderson votes aye. Representative Burkle.
Burkle votes aye.
Burkle votes aye. Representative Eklund.
Aye.
Eklund votes aye. Representative Hansen R.
Hansen R. Aye.
Hansen R. votes aye. Representative Hansen J.
Hansen J. Aye.
Hansen J. Aye. Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn, aye.
Cleavorn votes aye. Representative Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Lippert votes aye. Representative Lewick.
Lewick votes aye.
Lewick votes aye. Representative Miller.
Miller, aye.
Miller votes aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Representative Thompson. 12 ayes, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
There being 12 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails and the House File 3420 as amended is on its way to Ways and Means. Chair Sundin, I'll return the gavel back to you.
Okay. Thank you very much for pitching in. That concludes the agenda for today. A special thanks to all the testifiers today. And our next meeting will be Monday at its regular time. This meeting's adjourned.